Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Something Something Podcast. My name is Eric Kasloff, and with me, as always, is Larry Sands. How's it going, Larry?
Oh, everything is great, Eric. Everything is good. Hey, man, before we get into it, I wanted to ask you how everything was going with your health.
Health-wise, again, for people just tuning in, because of our guest, the start of the year was not good for me. I was in the hospital for over a month, almost died. Now, here's the thing. There is a giant hole in my leg from the tubes that we're in. That's not what's bothering me. What's bothering me is my teeth, and I am very self-conscious now that we're using video because I lost my partial dentures while in the hospital. Working on getting those back. The leg is getting better, but I have other news. I am moving from 14 John Street to 25 John Street. I could literally see my new place from my yard. I was like smoking a cigar a couple days ago outside. And I'm like, yep, in about 2 weeks, that's going to be all me.
That's right. That's right. You know what, Eric? You should actually tell everybody that when it comes to your teeth, spoiler alert, that you got into like a two-man fight and the guy knocked out your teeth, but you should see the other guy.
Well, see, you know, I'm in a club that I can't talk about.
Right. Wait, what do you mean?
I can't talk about it.
About what?
Well, you see the posters right there.
Exactly. First rule of Nut Club
Larry, I love, as you know, like being a filmmaker and all that, love movies and TV. Now, I'm weird in that 90% of what I watch is usually horror movies.
Yes.
Followed by, you know, Simpsons reruns, comedies. But I love the Hallmark Channel.
Yes.
Like I said, I am probably the only person to have a subscription to UFC Fight Pass, Shudder, and Hallmark.
Yes.
Because they know their fan base and they put out really good quality shows.
Definitely, for sure.
And again, while I was in the hospital, my two fears were watching the Super Bowl in the hospital and watching The Way Home in the hospital because it is such a great show. And we've been lucky enough to have a lot of the cast members on the show.
Yeah.
And today we have a third member. Larry, introduce our guest.
Yes, I am so pleased to have Sid Sharma on the podcast. Hi, Sid. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. Very excited to be here.
You're very welcome. Very
excited to have you on, man.
Yes.
So, when I tell people about the show, I always say it's kind of like Back to the Future meets the Gilmore Girls.
Which is true.
Yeah, I guess that makes a lot of sense. Wow, yeah. I haven't had those two comparisons done before, but hey, I'm locked in. That's good.
That's good.
Tell us about yourself, man. I've done, you know, watched a bunch of interviews with you, but tell our listeners, you know, who you are, where you're from, and all that other stuff.
Absolutely. You know, first off, Siddharth Sharma, born and raised in India, moved to Toronto for multiple reasons, you know, family, education. I was doing mechanical engineering before. You know, story why I had to move, because I had to move. You know, it wasn't like I should move. I had to move. I had no other option because in grade 11, I was still in India, and you know, I did like my physics, math, and you know, chemistry, all of those, you know, big exams. And there was that, you know, parent-teacher meet, and they were like, you know, this kid's smart, but like, you know, he's barely passing anything. He's barely passing any of these subjects. So, you know, I had to, I went from straight mechanical engineering to like a hard U-turn into just got a camera, started doing photography. You know, I thought it was important to pursue that at a certain point. Talked to my mom. She was very supportive. Then moved to Toronto for Toronto Film School. So shout out. And it's been great. You know, I wanted to go to Toronto Film School for film production, and they mentioned, hey, like, there's a better way to do this. You should also act so that you can become a better director. I was unsure about what I wanted to do, but then I just started acting, and now I'm acting, I'm directing. I
Awesome.
just, you know, just started a production called Hold the Sauce Films, and with my producing partner, you know, we're just doing things. We're trying to make things happen, for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the main thing when it comes to any creative aspect of our lives is just do it. I mean, even if you don't know how or where to start, I think you just have to pick up a camera and just start utilizing it, because now everybody has their cell phone, right?
Yeah.
And that's that to me is no excuse. Well, I don't have a camera, I don't have this. Well, you have a computer, you
Yeah.
have a phone, just start
Yeah.
doing it, and don't be afraid to make mistakes. So I commend you for it. Did you, I should say, for following your heart
Yeah.
and going with how you feel, because I think that's a big important thing in the step of a creative person, is to just trust that thing in your heart.
Yeah, and you know, I really appreciate it, first of all, because you know, it is a fun thing, and at the end of the day, you start to see why certain things, you know, mechanical engineering didn't go the way I wanted to go. And in a lot of ways, it was freeing to finally go, you know what, let me just do my thing, you know,
Oh,
because there
yeah.
was an element to, like, this is what I should be doing. And then when I went to TFS, Toronto Film School, it was kind of like, let's just figure it out as we go. You know, small shout out to Toronto Film School for sure. I actually never ended up finishing this, you know, the program. So that's also kind of like, sorry. But like, it's one of those, because then again, it was another thing where it's actually, like you said, even if you don't know, or even if you're doubting a lot of things, I think the biggest thing is, it is really that simple in a lot of ways to just, like, bro, just do it.
Yeah,
You know?
yeah, yeah, yeah. And let's be real. Like, when you're in the middle of it and when you're in the thick of it, you're like, I don't know about this. Maybe I shouldn't do it.
That's the
Maybe I
hard
should.
part.
Be because every creative that I know has got in the back of their mind a what if. But I think if you can look that what if dead in the eyes, straight up in the face, and go, I'll show you what if. And you just got to just suck it up and do it. And I think there becomes like a comfortability of just letting everything play out the way it's supposed to.
It becomes part of the process in a lot of ways too. And you know, like you said, it's not even just in the thick of it, to be honest. It's like, realistically, every morning. Every morning you're like, damn, bro, is this it, or like, what are we really doing here? But you know, it's, and then as the day goes on, you know, you take your first sip of coffee and you're like, you know what, like, let's just get to it. You know?
You gotta really, you gotta really be able to be a self-starter. And even if you're not a self-starter, you have to learn to be a self-starter. And you know, it always amazes me. Obviously, our podcast, you know, is all about the creative aspects and the creative side of authors and filmmakers and actors and musicians. But everybody soon finds out that either they want to do it and pursue it, and they don't mind the way that it feels, because you have to be able to get up in the morning and just do it,
You
whatever
kind of
that is.
gotta get used to the word no,
Right.
'cause you're going to hear it 99% of the time, but it's
Yeah.
that once those one chances when you get yes, that really changed things. So I got a
Yeah.
couple more questions for you, Sid. So you're this, young guy growing up in India. Now, people don't understand a lot in America how huge movies are in India. Everybody immediately thinks Bollywood, but there's Mollywood and other, genres within India.
Hollywood.
Exactly. Yeah. There's the one,
Yeah.
man, there's this movie I gotta buy. I forget the name of it, but it's a Bollywood remake of Scream. I cannot remember the name of it, but I need that in my Scream collection. So tell
Right.
us, were you at all influenced by the Indian film industry, or was the Western industry also an influence on you?
I think in terms of the influence, I think they're both equally, 'cause India, they look up to a lot of Western stuff. I think in a lot of ways, they also seek validation in a lot of stuff, and but if you look at the authentic filmmaking that happens, that is just the core is Indian filmmakers who are not necessarily as much influence. I'm sure there's influence, right? Like there's always influence, copy, adapt, make it better, whatever, right? Like that's always part of the game. But yeah, there's like certain filmmakers that are doing things that they strike a chord in a different way. And streaming platforms have allowed that space for them. Like they can actually put it out and people watch it. A lot of indie stuff that is, now, because Bollywood, I never was necessarily a fan of Bollywood. I have a lot of respect for it because the stuff they do is insane.
Oh,
It's crazy stuff. It's crazy, wild stuff. And I would be honored to be a part of it. Most of my friends, when I talk about Bollywood, they're like, "Oh yeah, you wanna do a dance number?" And I'm like, "Bro, why not? Who does not want to do a dance number? Tell me, like, give me one person." I'm like, "Nah, bro, this is boring. Bro, this is insane, cool
Yeah.
stuff, right?" So, lots of respect, but there's a lot of hidden gems, that are finally coming out more. Actors that are just not the typical 6 foot two, fair skinned. It's like
Yeah.
a whole thing, right? Back home, as you guys
Yeah.
already know. So it's interesting. I think those people, when they make movies, they talk about stuff that hasn't been talked about. I can, I would love to send you a few examples, lists of movies that I would
Oh,
highly
please,
recommend
please
to be
do,
like,
please.
hey, this will change the game, the way you look at the way you look at Indian cinema. I think it's very, very rich. And I feel like it's in the blood at this point. I've accepted it. I'm like, it's in the blood. It has to come out some way or the other. Yeah, there's definitely influence. Not necessarily growing up, I wasn't like, I gotta make a movie. Never, never had that until it became, this thing that's now become an identity.
That's cool. And speaking of, and sorry, Eric, I wanted to jump in
Oh, no, go
really
ahead.
quick. Speaking of like taking that idea, how are you putting any of that into your filmmaking now?
I believe in like find it, like I try to actively do it originally, and it didn't feel right. It felt like, because it all, like everything that we make in a lot of ways is just a product of who we are, what we've seen, what we've experienced. And starting out, I just want to talk about the things that I've experienced. And with that in mind, I haven't seen a lot of movies. I've seen a lot, of course, like, but as a filmmaker actor, when we do like, oh, have you seen this? I'm like, no, I may have seen a Bollywood version of this, but I haven't seen, this film. And that is kind of allowing me to develop a taste.
Hell
So
yeah.
everything that I'm watching is kind of intentional. And I just, whenever I make things, I'm like, that's what I've watched. That's what I like. And if that's in my, brain and my body, it's going to come out when I make the movie.
I like that.
So question. I know this happened to me when I went to film school. I started to hate movies because instead of just watching and enjoying, I was overanalyzing every little thing. And it took me about a year to start loving movies again. Have you now, since you know both sides, of the camera, has it changed the way you watch movies?
It's kind of I'm in the same boat, I want to say. Not necessarily hating on it, just being overly critical of
That's yeah.
choices. You know, I'm
Yeah.
gonna have a hot take right now. Let's get a hot take out, right?
Okay,
So
let's hear
Dune
it.
2, Dune 2, amazing masterpiece, right? Like we all agree. And I was just talking about this, maybe because I haven't read the books, lack of knowledge. Forgive me. Forgive me. I'm gonna say forgive me after everything.
Wait a
But
minute, there's a book?
or wait, are
Never
you
mind.
serious? There's like five of them, dude. Well, Hillary
Oh.
just learned that Harry Potter
There's
was
no
a
way.
book first.
I didn't know it. No, I'm
That's
just kidding.
awesome.
But
I love that. I love that. No, but in terms of, there's the first opening scene. You guys have seen it, I'm sure, right?
not
Dune
yet.
2? Dune 2?
I wasn't
Yeah,
able to
not
because I
yet,
was
but go
healing
for
up,
it.
but I'm
Hit
gonna
it.
see it.
Hit
Go
it.
for it. Go
Just
for
do
it.
it.
Well, I'll make it a little bit broader. The point
No,
is,
just spoil it, man.
oh, yeah.
99% of the world's already seen it.
Okay, yeah, you know what? It's actually like a you problem if you haven't seen it now, so I'm gonna just go for
It's my fault. I know that.
it. But there's a scene where there's like people trying to chase, the our main dude. I forget like the official name, but what's his name? Oh my
Timothy
God.
Charmaine?
Yeah, Timothy
Yeah.
Chalamet, he's hiding from these people that are trying to look for him. And in one scene, they're climbing up the hill. And they're on the other, Timothy Chalamet's on the other side. So they're slowly climbing up the hill and they're like, hey, they're coming. We gotta hide, right? And they hide under this massive hill that's just behind this other sand dune that they were hiding behind earlier. So as the troops are trying to catch them, they're climbing up. They leave a trail, by the way, that nobody notices. And no, it's wild. They don't notice the freaking trail in the sand. And then he's hiding. And now they think that they're up on the hill or something, and then they start like they have some, equipment that they can just climb up, basically flying. So in my head, you're walking up the sand dunes, but you're flying up the hills. Why didn't you just do that? Things like that. And immediately, and hey, I love that movie. So, people, if anybody's listening, don't hate on me. I love you
Oh,
guys. I love the movie.
I get it. Yeah, I get
Yeah.
it.
But the idea, like the reason behind the whole thing for me is like I get so caught up with that specific thing as I'm watching a film that I just my brain immediately is like, oh, that doesn't make sense. I can't even go forward like fully immersed, So stuff like Uncut Gems, Good Time, I'm all in. I'm locked in. I don't have to pretend like I believe this, I'm all in immediately. It's that's what I strive for, and I respect that a lot. And I really hope that I can, as a filmmaker, get to a point where I can do that seamlessly, where you don't have to like act like you believe this,
The expectation of disbelief, I think it's what that's called when you're watching something. So you've done a lot of TV, some cool stuff that I think is mainly in Canada, like Homeschooled. I watched some clips of that earlier today. And we'll get into your two big shows, but and again, you're kind of like a Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders kind of guy, because it's getting one show. They both did football and baseball, but being on two popular shows is such. Congratulations on that, by the way. But tell us, how it all started, like your first gigs, stuff like that.
The first gig, it's not that long ago, but it feels like it's very long ago. It was like pre-COVID peak time, I guess, right? And I did The Expanse. I had like two lines, and I was like a civilian or whatever on the show. And I actually auditioned for Star Trek originally, and
Oh, wow.
the casting director was really, you know, really sweet. And I'm glad that they recognized the work, and they said, you know, this may not be the fit right now, but we have this part. So it was perfect. It was
Okay.
the show was ending. They were like, hey, we gotta put you on, and I respected that a lot. So that was like the first thing ever, and then Homeschooled was the second thing, which was actually demanded, had an arc, you know,
Yeah.
actually demanded like a full-on scene by scene. And got to work with Karen Knox, amazing director. Shout out to Karen Knox. She's you know, I still had a recently I try to maintain a relationship with her. She's really cool. I really appreciate what she's done. And then after that it kind of started to be it became slightly more consistent. Just slightly more consistent. You're always looking for more work. You're trying to create opportunities for yourself as well. But then I was like, okay, Homeschool gave me a lot of confidence as an actor too. I look back at it and I'm like, oh, I could have done that so much better, obviously. Everything ever. But
Oh, yeah.
you know, it's one of those things. But yeah, then I remember I did In the Dark, I did two episodes. That was really fun. A great directors, great crew, made good connections on that as well. And yeah, and I think after that, it was The Way Home, I believe.
Wow.
I could be
Wow.
wrong, but The
Wow.
Way Home is just it's just great. It was everybody on that because I believe you guys talked to Alex and
Yeah.
Katine, right? Yeah, yeah. Great people.
They're
Yeah.
super, super nice. And you know, they you guys have such a great vibe to the show where the 90s side just bonds so well. And we're gonna get into the Y2K portion in a minute, but how did you first audition for The Way Home?
Oh, it's actually there's a little funny thing there. I first
Let's hear
auditioned
it.
with a beard on.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a full on. Well, not as heavy as this. We'll get into
Okay.
why I have this too. You know, I want to plug that in first.
Okay, okay.
But I had a beard, and then I believe they liked me past the beard, so they were like, "Hey, can you just take that off
Shave
and then
it.
do it again?" You know, and I did it again, and it was actually a very simple process. In terms of, I did two tapes, primarily because of the beard, I believe, and you know, the Al McAdam, who plays my older version, we looked like each other enough to kind of, you know, make it work. And I think that was like the selling point as well. So after that, we were just shooting. It was great.
Wow, that's cool.
That's
And
so
you were
awesome, man.
on the first season and the second season.
Yeah, yes.
Wow.
That's so cool. So
when we had Alex on, I asked her this, and it was as an older guy now hearing a younger person's asking this question. And I did it with our movie that we made. Did you have to like research the late 90s and early 2000s to get a feel for what it was like for a kid back then?
I feel like because I grew up in India, that's like, you know, you're already like a few years back. So like, you know what? I can kind of get away with a lot of things. And I'm gonna be completely honest. You walk on set and 90% of the work that the production design does, that the people involved are doing, that, you know, you wear the outfit that's picked out for you, and it kind of locks you in. I think it determines the way you walk. It, you know, you just gotta, I feel like if you just let yourself into that moment and just do your thing, it just helps you a lot. And trusted a lot of that. But some basic I think I'm kind of 90s anyway in that way, you know, in terms
The
of
shirt
not
says a lot.
necessarily
Your shirt.
you know, so I was like, this is just good. I was just excited to bring whatever I could to the table and, you know, let it flow.
I
That's
think
pretty
one of
cool.
my favorite things in season two is you and, you know, young Cat are driving away and you had rap metal playing. And I was like, man, that is the only time in the history of Hallmark Channel
Right,
Nu Metal will be playing during a movie.
This is a, yeah, we did something that day, you know. We did
Yeah.
something that day.
That's
We
pretty
created
cool.
something. Yeah.
Up until you booked The Way Home, what was that like for you at that point as an actor? What was going through your head, through your mind? Because you had already done these great things, and you're meeting all these people. What was the thought process, or how did you feel?
The thought process, I love that question, by the way. That's because I really want to anybody, especially if they're acting, I really want them to, you know, get that kind of, I want to drill that in their brains. But this is just my take, right? This is
Yeah.
based off of my personal experience and what I like to do. The whole time, there is an aspect of every time you get off set, you're kind of like, am I ever going to work again?
Yeah,
You
yeah.
know? And you know, that's a real thing for me anyway.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I'm like, okay, there's certain elements of myself that if we're, you know, tripling down on the storytelling thing, that I can only showcase if the right part comes along,
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
And I didn't like that a lot, you know. I'm like that kind of like that takes the action away from me. So I started doing, you know, indie stuff on the side.
Yeah.
So I remember even when I first went to set, we were filming the, you know, the when we're in the theater and we're watching Blair Witch Project, right? So
Yeah.
yeah, that was such a fun day. And I was showing the cast, Alex and David Webster. I was just trying to share, like Sadie as well, like, hey, like check this out. I just did this short, and I got the stills today. And I'm really excited to show it to you guys. We're not done. We're not, you know, it's not even picture locked, but I just really want to show you. And you know, that just doing that on the side, creating parts for yourself,
Yeah.
and not for the sake of like, I want to play a gangster, I want to write movies like
Right,
gangster,
right,
you know.
yeah,
It's
right.
like, bro, what are you experiencing? Make it fun, put it on,
Yeah.
and then just live through that.
Yeah.
It gives you an opportunity, your agent an opportunity, other people, producers. If you're trying to be in the game and you're wanting to work with other people who are trying to make movies, showcase them your ability. It's like a
Yeah.
demo reel, but like even farther than that, you go to festivals, you go to, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so I made a short called The Guest based on, you know, loosely based on, I think, because there's some wacky stuff on there, but loosely based on personal life. And it's doing a festival run right now. We heard from a couple of
Congratulations, man.
festivals. Yeah,
Very
thank you.
cool. Very cool.
It's very exciting. So that kind of kept me from thinking, well, not fully, still feel the same way all the time.
Yeah.
But if I was feeling the uncertainty of life 100% of the time when I'm not on set, then that made at least 60% of that go away. Because now I'm like, oh, I got to do pre-production. Oh,
Right. Yeah.
I
Yeah.
gotta
Yeah.
talk to the production designer about this thing, and
Yeah.
we gotta do a shot list. And we gotta, you know,
Yeah. Yeah.
took off
Yeah.
a lot of pressure that I was putting on the craft. And I think as soon as you step back slightly, and not stepping back for the sake of stepping back, it's just let it breathe and allow it to become something.
Yeah.
Then, and directing allowed me to do that. Acting in my own short, directing, writing, you know. Doing
Yeah.
all of that, and directing and acting was an interesting experience because I was like, I'm not focused about on acting at all. And everybody who sees that, they like the acting. I
Right.
was like, huh? Like,
Yeah. Yeah.
maybe
Yeah.
something here.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know?
Yeah. You know, it's I like to th so I like to think our little podcast, people come on and filmmakers especially, because Eric and I are obviously filmmakers, and I started out acting and was a musician, but
I
it all
started
kind of
out
rolls
almost
in
going into full-time youth
a minute.
ministry,
Yeah,
Sid.
exactly. And then he's a horror guy. So yeah. But you know, I think there's a giant misconception that what they see on like Entertainment Tonight or E, you know, entertainment television is, you know, everybody's having fun, everybody's going on vacation, everybody's got it made in a way. And you know, I recently I was reading about Tom Selleck and Blue Bloods because that is coming up. They're ending the show Blue Bloods, and it struck me because I think it was an interview, and they had asked him, well, you know, how do you feel about Blue Bloods? He goes, oh, I don't know. I mean, as an actor, you always have a thing in the back of your mind is this the last time? And to know that, and he even went on to say, he goes, look, am I set for life? Yeah. But as an actor, as this creative person, you don't want to stop. So, and I think we kind of have this thing in the back of our mind is like, man, this is great today, but oh God, what about tomorrow? You know?
And money doesn't solve that.
Yeah.
You know, nothing
No.
doesn't,
No.
nothing solves that. It's crazy.
No. It is
Yeah.
that I don't know if there's something wrong with creative people.
Oh, there is. There definitely is. There, without a doubt, there's something mentally wrong with all of us. We're lacking something.
I can like triple down. I think the two somethings there is
Yeah.
about the everything that's wrong with creative.
Yeah,
You know? Without a doubt.
exactly. But it doesn't. I think there's the level of, you know, when you first start out, it's like, oh, okay. And then every level of success, whatever you think the level of success that you want to get to, there's always a different amount of stress that comes along with that. And I find it fascinating because, again, you know, like we have you on the show because you're on on TV, right? And we find out you're like an independent filmmaker, and so you have that unique opportunity to speak to the acting and having that in the back of your mind is like, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh, what now, what next? But then also as a filmmaker, giving yourself that actor side, at least a little bit of space and telling yourself, right? And I think, you know, with filmmaking, you have to look at it not with an actor, because when you start, but I think you started as a filmmaker. So you know, like, how to let it just be, you know?
And honestly, the biggest lesson that I got from just focusing on film, really, was you gotta like this is all about story, you know.
Yeah.
Story is king, is not a light thing.
Right.
And you know, I think of course I have a lot to learn as an actor, but the starting point is every actor, they're there to service the story,
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I think that lesson in itself, just from filmmaking, it's like, oh, this makes sense. This makes sense. Okay, we got the production design, we got, you know, the camera team, we got Aries, and we got freaking Komodos. That's awesome. That's great. We got the sound equipment done. Nice. Except if the actors are, you know, not locked in the same way, they don't get the story, they don't know what's really happening.
Yeah.
That's it's a pretty it's fear, like, you know, you're kind of scared of that,
Yeah.
because now sometimes, and I see a lot of actors, people that I know, especially starting out, there is you have to be a little self-indulgent to become an actor, you know. You have to think
Yeah.
that, you know, when I do sad shit, it just sorry when I
Yeah,
do
you can
sad
curse
stuff,
all you want, man.
Yeah.
oh, love it, love it.
Yeah. I just got to make sure I mark it
Okay.
as explicit when I upload it.
Okay, true. But you know, they wanna do it to feel the character. They wanna do it to feel the pain of the character, or the, you know, extremes that you get to explore of, you know, just human nature. But you get so lost as an actor in that, because there's no real state that, you know, one, an actor can, there's no like, hey, you're in character now. So, you know, that's it, you know? And, you know, once you let that go, it's like, there's never going to be, or yeah, hey, you never know. There may not be a state where the cameras don't mean anything. The director just says action and floats away. And now you're in this world that's just like, it's me. And I'm in character and I'm doing and I'm living as this character. I go to bed as this character. And like, no, story. What's the freaking story? What's the scene about?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And which, yeah, that's.
Well, I was going to just because it speaks to the story. And when we had asked you before about, you know, like bringing that the Indian influence, a Bollywood influence to what you do, if. And I think this is what you mean is when it calls for it, there's a right time, but you just can't go throwing shit in just to go, hey man, this is great. Let's have a dance number here. And it's like, she's in the middle of crying, right? Or whatever. But
absolutely. Yeah.
This is like the hardcore, like truth, like behind the scenes that you don't see on like, you know, the entertainment news channels. And this I think is important for anybody who wants to do anything creative to absolutely understand what they're getting into first and foremost. Chase your dream and go balls out and ball to the wall and do your thing. But just know that with that, there's going to be a couple different things that are going to go on, but you have to, like you said, you know, you have to wake up, and after that first sip of coffee, you're like, all right, let's find it. Let's just do it. That is like a whole another discussion.
it's a whole thing.
It is.
And just know why you're doing it. Just know why you're doing it. It's like, you know, I just want to tell a story, like to simplify things. And the most simple thing is, why do you want to act? I want to tell stories. Why do you want to make movies? I want to tell stories. Wow. What do you want to get better at? Storytelling.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily script writing. What? Script writing?
Yeah.
Story.
Exactly. Right. Right. You know? Right. Right.
And,
right.
You know, we just wrote a short that we got a grant for. And
well, let's nice. Quickly talk about that after. Congratulations, but, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow.
So, it's very cool. And,
you know, I
it
gotta say,
off.
What's so great about talking with you is you're such a go-getter.
You're a hustler, baby.
Known each other for a little while now, but
30 minutes.
You don't come off as the kind of person who waits for stuff. You know, you're pounding the pavement. You know, not just knocking on the doors, kicking the doors open. There's so many people again. Living in LA for 25 years, thankfully back home in Jersey now, there were so many people I knew who wanted to act or filmmake and, you know, went to the big expensive schools and were just waiting. You know, one day the right part's going to come to me. And it is so weird. I just got a call from the LA Film School. I don't know why they're calling me still.
Just now?
But, yeah, literally just now.
They but, found out.
Yeah, they're watching.
They're listening. It's like the Men in Black with Larry. Funny story, we'll tell you later.
But it's
that's
hilarious.
What's so great about you, man, and what an encouragement it is talking with you that you're a go-getter. You don't just wait. You fight for it.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. And, you know, it doesn't feel like it now because, you know, you always want to do more. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it all comes down to what do you want to do? And like I was saying, with screenwriter, I want to be a screenwriter. I want to be a director. I want to be, it's all just story. Like, let's simplify it. It's all just, I want to tell the story. And I never took any writing training. And we got a grant for a short. And I'm like, does that make us writers?
Yes, it does. Yes,
it does.
It absolutely does. Wow. What? So, okay. Wait. So tell us before, because like now it becomes like, what's the story about? How long did it take to write it? What was the thought process? And my God, you got a grant, you got money for it?
That's so
It's
cool, man.
insane. It's insane. It's
That's
wild.
pretty cool.
I can go into it. It's
Yes.
it's very exciting. It's actually so funny because again, it's because of the way home in a lot of ways. You know?
Okay.
I never got to work with Al McAdam. And he plays my older version. I was like, whoa, it's so sad. Like, you're such a great actor. I really look forward to like working with you, except we're never going to be on set together
Exactly.
or the universe explodes or anything falls
Exactly.
apart.
Depending on which time travel
Yeah.
logic you believe in,
Yeah.
whether it be
Yeah.
timey-wimey or Back to the Future, it is not good if you two are
Yeah,
ever
exactly.
together.
Yeah. And I hated that. And I was like, I don't think we can change in the script. So we got to do something about that, Al. We went out for a coffee, and so he mentioned briefly, hey, like I told him how important it is for me to work with him, and how cool it would be. And he mentioned, like, if you write something, I'll be there.
Oh,
I was
well,
like, huh.
never
You're like,
say
huh.
that to
Never
a
say
creative
that.
person.
Never say
Never,
that.
never.
Don't say that to me, bro.
Yeah.
So a few months later, I hit him up. I was like, so remember how you said you want to do this thing? So I wrote a script, and I did some therapy through the script. Apparently, I put down a whole bunch of personal shit on it, and I was like, so we applied for a grant. We're the finalists, and we're going in for the final meeting tomorrow to see if we're gonna get the 10K for it. And
Wow.
are you still attached? Can we tell them? And he was like, bro, fucking A, congrats, go do it.
Wow.
And
Wow.
that was the final nudge of encouragement that me and Mitchell Jaramillo, he's my producing partner. And we went into that meeting all guns blaring, like, hey, this
That's
is what we do, this is
awesome,
how we're gonna
man.
do it. Ended up getting the grant.
Wow.
Now we're shooting in less than in 7 days, and that's why I have a beard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you in that heart
Wow.
palpitating thing when you're getting ready to do a project?
It's very exciting. It's crazy. Like, I'm very it's such a great spot to be in, not necessarily financially, because you're funding a lot of your own projects, right?
Right.
So the first short that I mentioned that I did, I heard from a festival. They mentioned, they were like, hey, what's the premiere status? So I'm like, fingers crossed, they might put us
Yeah,
on.
yeah.
And then the second one that we did, we're getting ready for a submission for TIFF, and we're like, hey, can
Oh,
we finish an
wow,
unfinished
man.
project? So they're okay with an unfinished
Wow.
project if we can finish it by the time that they're
Wow.
premiering. And at the same time, there's heavy pre going. So we're trying to work with Al, we're trying to work
That's
with
so great,
there's some
boy.
cool people attached on the project. It's a 3-day shoot. So I
Oh.
just haven't had the time to have that feeling, boss. I'm gonna
Wow.
be straight up.
Wow.
Yeah,
Wow.
that's why.
man, you're a work you're what I always say is there's
Yeah.
working class actors and filmmakers. That's people who are always working, and you're embodying that right now, man.
Wow.
Congratulations on
Thank you. Thank
everything.
you so much. Man,
So,
thank you so much.
and it's so
Really
cool
appreciate it.
that the way home is being able to open doors for you now because
Yeah.
you've got something. I honestly feel if it keeps going, because Canada is very loyal to their stuff. It's like the holy thing in Canada, TV wise, is Degrassi. But I do think The Way Home can get up there with having that, if you're a Canadian actor, you're gonna be on The Way Home eventually.
Right.
Right.
I really, fingers are crossed. I mean, that would be really dope. That would be really
And
cool.
you're not sure if you're, are you, do you know, you probably can't say anything about season three if we're going back to the 2000s.
Honestly, I wish I knew more. I can't tell you because I don't know. So it just worked
Yeah.
out.
And I gotta defend your
Man.
character a little bit. A lot of people think
Thank you.
he's a jerk.
Thank you.
I
Yes.
think he's really insecure about himself, so he
Oh, yeah.
overcompensates for stuff, but deep down, he's a good guy. I mean, he did kind of start flash mobs, which I am upset about because I hated those things. But then, when you go into the adult version of you, Al, I'm so glad he's never had the hey kiddo moment. And what I mean by that is, whenever there's a divorced dad in a movie or TV show, there's always the phone call, hey kiddo, about this weekend, I'm not going to be able to make it. And he's never done that. But with you, I knew so many guys like that when I, growing up in that era, who felt they had to puff themselves up. But it's like, no, you're a good guy. When we see him with, Y2 Cat, he's just this really nice guy, and he puts up this thing of over success because he wants people to not know he's scared a lot, or we don't know what his home life is like, if there's pressure on him from home and all of that.
And I mean, as a brown kid, I guess, like, it kind of is part of the game, you know? Like, hey, get your stuff together. Like, you gotta. So I'm sure there's definitely elements for somebody that's going through what Brady's going through. But you're right. I love the arc because Al plays him so well, and you can't hate that guy. So
I keep wanting to, but he never does anything to make me hate him.
Exactly. And I think that's so. Wait, sorry, my Siri just went off. There we go. But yeah, it's so cool because, like, as an audience member, you're always like, well, I fucking hate this guy. And then you see Al, and you're like, wait, is it the same dude who just, like, had such an insane, journey of learning things and just became this person who's better,
Well, I
better,
think Alice being born is probably what we'll find out changes him. But like I was saying, a lot of people could be on one show, but you're also on Gen V, Generation V. Tell us about that, man.
Well, Gen V is a fun one. I would hate to talk about the show without, acknowledging Chance and how, his contribution to the show. It's very unfortunate to, be as good as he was. And I think he's left a big void for sure that is irreplaceable. 'Cause he was one of the first guys that I met when I went on set and gave me a hug, welcomed me. What a
Oh
just
man.
sweetest person ever. So, just best wishes to his family and stuff because that's heavy stuff. But the experience on the show was it was a fun show. I'd like to think that it was because CGI heavy stuff is always, interesting, and it's a bigger set because it has to be. So that was a fun experience. I was definitely the most nervous, I want to say, being on a show like that,
I bet.
working with, solid good actors and just being unsure. It's like, am I good? Like, why did they book me?
Because you're
What am I
good.
doing
No,
here?
you're not just good, man. You're
No, you're very
great.
good.
You're great at what you do. And I'm not,
Really
I
appreciate it.
wouldn't
Thank you.
have you on the show if I didn't think that. I would have took the chance in reaching out. Is that you're good at what you do, but you're growing still. You're not stagnant on, you're not resting on your laurels. You keep challenging yourself. Like being on a big budget show and then a smaller budget show shows your range as an actor.
And then you'll see my shorts that are zero budget.
Oh, I can't. I really, if there's a way for me to check those out, we have each other's emails. Send them over, please. I want to see your
I can't
work.
wait to share. Yeah, and same because like you guys mentioned, I just love watching stuff that's, in the same zone, and we're all filmmakers. I'd love to see anything you guys put out, and just or if you're working on something, want to talk about it
Oh, for
when we're
sure,
not
man.
recording even, I just love those creative discussions.
I do have to say that, like, talking to you, Sid, and hearing your journey and being a filmmaker and acting, it if people listen to this and aren't inspired to go create, they should probably maybe do something else. Because Because as you're talking about obviously the things that you've done, like I'm thinking, and see, this is the way it should be. All these stories should make us think about our own lives. Because no matter what you write, no matter what Eric writes, it all comes from the same place. If it comes from the heart and people connect with that, that's the connection. And that when you bring that to the table, man, that's the sauce. That's the
That's the
sauce.
sauce.
That's the
And
sauce.
we have that. I love that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah,
Because,
let's talk
the
about
sauce.
that, your production company.
Yeah.
Hold the Sauce. Shout out Hold the Sauce Films, because it started off as like I did a bunch of tapes with actors during COVID. I was like, this virus can't kill me, obviously. So I just invited a bunch of strangers almost every day to my apartment, like a super tiny. I moved out. I'm in a different spot now, but I was living with my roommate, and like it was crazy tight spot. I'm like, hey, let's cough into each other's face as we do these tapes.
Oh, we
So
have this other podcast called Smells Like Teen Horror, and me, Larry, and Dylan made this pact where if one of us got COVID, we would lick a popsicle and send it to the others. So if we're one of us are gonna get it, we're all going down together.
I have a better solution, guys. I don't know if you know about this. It's called kissing.
Well,
I've
you see,
tried
then
that
we
a
would
few
have to
times.
travel to Texas, North Carolina, Jersey.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
Right. You're just sending kisses. Okay, right.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. I like that. but with Hold the Sauce, it's been cool because Mitch and I, we started. Well, I did a bunch of tapes originally, and every time actors or even friends, I hate to say just actors, like friends would, do strange things in for a tape. Like you're reading something and you're like, I can see you're trying to do something that's just like, what are you doing? That's not you. I know you. So what are you doing? And after a certain point of time, I was like, we gotta call this something, right? Like there's so we started calling it Sauce,
Nice.
so we started calling it, it's like, yo, you gotta bring down the actor sauce. Like we can't, there's too
I
much
get
actor
it.
sauce
I
right
like
now.
that. I like that.
And with that, I feel like I learned a lot about directing too. But that later turned into Hold the Sauce became a very, specific thing.
I get it.
It's like we're making a movie. We have a production designer and a costume person and hair and makeup. We have four different people, four or three things. We're zero budget though. So I think we're being a little too saucy. How about we have two people, who do all of those things? Just like,
So would you say
check
that?
yourself before you wreck yourself.
One thing I always talk about is finding your film family. Like, Larry, we've known each other for 25 years. He's part of my film family. He knows how I like my stuff set up. And 9 out of 10 times, I'm going to let him or the actors do something on their own. Would you say what Hold the Sauce, you're finding your that is your film family where you all know each other without even thinking about it?
It came later. We kind of had to. It felt like the family was there. The core members, well, two core members, me and Mitch, are definitely the ones that are just doing everything, putting it together in a lot of ways. But we do work with the same people. Our editor is Matt Williams, incredible. And I'm like, hey, like 30 years in, I don't want to be editing with anybody else. Let's like lock this in. Is there a contract that we could sign that everything that I ever make, you edit it? Like,
Just
you
cut
just
your
get
wrist
it.
and just put it on a piece of paper.
I'm seeing him tomorrow, so I will remember
Hey, you hand him a
that.
piece of paper. He goes, "What's? Oh God, was that your blood?" Go, yeah. There you go, dude.
We're together now.
Yeah.
We're the captain
Exact.
now.
Or you could take him the popsicle and go, "Hey, here you go."
No, I'm close enough. I can just kiss him.
Okay,
There
awesome. Go
you
for it, man.
go.
Go for
There
it.
you go. That's good.
Well,
Thank you. Yeah, I'll do that.
We could stay
Oh,
talking with
man.
you all day, but we want to be respectful of your time, and we'll definitely have you back
It,
on. I feel this
actually,
is going to keep going with something new,
yeah.
man.
Actually, when you get your short, wherever in the process you guys want to come back on and talk about it, if you can,
Oh, please,
we would
man.
absolutely love to have you come on and do a straight up filmmaker discussion about that. So we would absolutely.
That would be incredible because our objective with the next short is to get into TIFF, you know.
I love it.
And
Awesome.
we're trying to aim. I was like, what are we doing if we're not aiming high?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
so
That's. Yeah.
we got higher aims. So, you know, it would be great to get some buzz around the film as well. You know, we've
Yeah.
heard that's good if you want to get into a festival.
Heck
So
yeah,
we'd love to
man.
chat with you, and it's an opportunity to talk to you guys, and I would love that. I'm having so much fun. It's crazy. I could do this all day too.
Good,
Thank you so much, man.
good. Before you wrap up, Eric, Sid, I just want to tell you, man, how much it, and I mean this in the best possible way, is no matter how you look at whatever you go through, because we all go through it as creative people, you are making a difference. And you've just made a difference today to people who are listening to this that. And if you can do it, if I can do it, if Eric can do it, then anybody really could do it. But honestly, man, you walk the tightrope between what people want to do. You've been to the big set. You've been, we all are independent filmmakers, man, until we meet, you know, our studio head who goes, hey man, here's a bunch of money, go make it, right? Until then, you are your own studio head, and I appreciate you so much for just doing what you do and being where you are right now in this time. So thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you, brother. Thank you.
I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for saying that. That's very kind. I highly appreciate it. I, you know, that's too much. I love it. Thank you so much. I love it.
Yes. Well,
Really appreciate
everyone, all of Sid's social media will be in the description if you're listening in on Anchor. And when it goes up next week, we will definitely be tagging him. Well, again, Sid, thank you so much for coming on. And like we say each and every week on the show, remember, everybody, support our troops.